John Bolton, former ambassador to the United Nations, is a guy who not only made a tremendous amount of news when he was getting the gig and when he was in the job and when he left, and he continues to do that through a lot of different ways on Fox News and other places, and writing his new book, which is Surrender is Not an Option, Defending America at the United Nations. That is now out in paperback, selling tons of copies, much to the irritation of the left. And John Bolton joins us on our newsline. Good to have you back.
Glad to be here.
So what a target-rich environment. If you look at just what's happening here, starting with Obama's tour last week, and apparently he's feeling really good about himself. Some of the reports I'm reading even today about him telling House Democrats that, yes, indeed, he is the change. And he's feeling his self-esteem is at a record high level. That's scary, isn't it, when it comes to people who have been leaders through history who start to like themselves way too much?
Well, I think from Senator McCain's point of view, this is just about the best thing you could imagine happening. Let's hope he keeps that attitude right on through. I mean, I'm not sure what the Obama campaign thought this swing through Europe would do. I think he had to go to Afghanistan and Iraq. It had been so long since he'd been, and it is a way for him to reinforce his previously held views. He certainly didn't go to listen. He went so he could say he had been there and continue to articulate his position.
And conservatives pressed him for that, and McCain pressed him for that, too. So that's fine. We can't say, oh, he shouldn't have gone, because
exactly. Everybody
was saying he needed to.
I think that is, that's to be expected. He's on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He should have been many more times before, but okay, better late than never. The Europe trip, is, I think, designed to appeal to a very small segment of the U.S. population that thinks that approval by Europe is a prerequisite for an American presidency. My own view, and, I may be in a minority position on this, I don't think the Europe part of that trip helped him at all, and I think, if anything, it led a lot of Americans to think, to ask the question, what's he running for president of?
Yeah, Chancellor of Germany or President of France. And this is, I know, right into your wheelhouse, as they say in baseball, John Bolton, that when you get to this issue of the world needing to like us, I think part of this must be because of our 24/7 news cycle, but I can only imagine, the days of Teddy Roosevelt, or you go back to Lincoln, or you just go through American history, I don't know that there was a lot of concern as to how the rest of the world would love or hate us. It was all about doing the right thing, or should have been, and should
right.
be.
Well, that's what an American president's responsibility is, to protect the interest of the United States, its people, and its friends and allies. Now, it's obviously useful to have as much political support around the world as you can get, but you achieve political support by what your policies are and how you articulate them. And I think Obama was trying to take advantage of the antipathy felt by so many Europeans to George Bush. But again, most Americans, even those who disapprove of the president, think we're going in the wrong direction or looking forward to the inauguration of a new president. I don't think it impresses many people that 200,000 Germans turned out to cheer Obama on.
Well, they also heavily promoted that. I think a lot of people missed the interesting part of the story, that the Obama campaign was passing out flyers in German, basically saying, it's just like, come see the Rolling Stones play. I mean, it was a real rock star kind of moment, and people have a sense of, hey, it's free, I'll show up, I might get on television. So a lot of that was part of it as well. I do find it amusing that the Obama campaign is saying now this week that they didn't expect much out of that trip. Now, this is after the campaign itself pays for the trip. They funded all of this. Of course they expected something. Come on.
Sure. Well, I think they have to be most disappointed by the lack of reaction, at least in the United States, to the speech that he gave there in Berlin at the Tiergarten. Which the only public speech that he gave on the trip, he did answer a few questions at press conferences, but these were the one set of prepared remarks in an 8-day trip. So you know that they intended that to be the focal point substantively for the trip. And I thought the speech was really quite remarkable. Number one, it had almost nothing new of substance, mm-hmm. and what it did have was this vacuous one-worldism that consists apparently of an American foreign policy of being against the differences between civilizations and peoples around the world. I mean, it really was New Age in its
dimensions. Yeah. Well, how does that strike you as somebody who has the unique perspective of being ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton? You look at that, you certainly had to wallow in that every day in the band of gypsies, tramps, and thieves known as the General Assembly. We usually use, in fact, we should have used Cher and that theme. That's usually our UN theme. But you, like Jean Kirkpatrick before you and others, had to go in there and basically try to maintain America's interests while, you know, being as reasonable as is prudent. But, man, they want us to give in and cave in and blame America first. And when you hear this talk, like Obama said, people of the world, and look at Berlin, even that issue, if you look closely at Berlin, it's not as swell as he made it sound in that speech either. They've got problems.
No, they do, and I think it reflects a basic misunderstanding of what America's role in the world is. You know, he said here in Berlin the wall was torn down because the world stood as one. Well, no, it didn't, actually. The Berlin Wall came down after decades of an intense struggle in the Cold War because the victorious coalition of free nations led by the United States basically outlasted and outmaneuvered the Soviet Union and the Communist bloc. So the tearing down of the Berlin Wall is not the cue to sing, you know, we are the world. It's the cue to say the world needs American leadership if freedom is to survive.
When you look at an Obama presidency, a possibility of that, and I shudder when I say that, but when you play this out, how do you, as a former U.N. ambassador, with all of your experience in a variety of administrations over the years, look at that? And from your perspective, for those U.N. years, when you think about what that could be, it seems like Obama is blaming America. He did it again yesterday, talking about what we did to Native Americans. And yeah, you can have that debate, but, I mean, come on. It seems like in every one of these lofty speeches, there's the, let me remind you how miserable America has been in history. How does that play out on the world stage if he's the guy?
Well, I think it sends a signal of real weakness. I mean, if you think back simply to the Clinton administration, if he only followed the pattern of the Clinton administration, I think we all remember Secretary of State Albright apologizing to Iran for a coup the CIA led in 1953 against the potential of a communist takeover. Secretary Albright in Pyongyang clinking champagne glasses with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il. All around the world they're saying, my God, are we going to get that back? And just really waiting for a new president that would be weak. I think it's potentially worse than that. I think it goes back maybe even to the Carter administration.
Oh, boy.
When we saw our diplomats in Tehran, let's not forget that, taken hostage for a year and a half, when we saw the Russians, the Soviets invade Afghanistan. And that is the mentality I think you really see when you get honest comments out of Obama, direct comments, not scripted, just reflections of what he actually thinks. Certainly those of his key advisors. I think this is potentially one of the most radical presidencies from a national security point of view we've ever had.
John Bolton with us here on San Diego 1700. And that points out something when you're talking about Carter, and McCain has tried to bring this up and make reference to the Carter years. You know that there are a lot of people who don't remember. They haven't been around. Those of us who were around don't choose to remember because we love those gas lines and malaise and all of that at the time. But the challenge is going to be for a lot of the supporters of Obama who have no historical perspective to connect with the truth of, well, you don't want to go back to Carter. They don't have that reference point. So does that mean it's not possible to make that connection?
I think you have to look at Senator McCain's current position. He's only 2, 3, 4 points behind, even in polls in the immediate aftermath of Senator Obama's trip. It's remarkable he's that close. And I think what that says is, the election is winnable, and the outcome will likely be close. So it does fall on Senator McCain, I think, now to explain what these risks are for the generation of young people where there's a lot of enthusiasm for Obama, I think in part because they don't know the history any better than he does. And McCain and others, his supporters, will have to try and explain that and explain what the risks are of putting someone so inexperienced and so naive and potentially so radical in charge of our national security.
And you can make the case that Carter, as president, set the stage for a lot of the problems we're having in Iran right now.
Oh, absolutely. I think the desire to turn away from the Shah's government, now the Shah's government was not perfect. He was certainly no Jeffersonian Democrat, but but replacing him, we got the Islamic Revolution of 1979 that almost since its inception has been pursuing nuclear weapons and leaves us today with the risk of widespread nuclear proliferation in the Middle East and a threat to our friends in Israel and our interest in Persian Gulf oil.
Now, you know, that's a big, big story here, big focus for us in San Diego with our military presence, the Marines, the Navy, et cetera. And when you look at where we are now in Iraq and Afghanistan, longer deployments and repeat deployments and all of that, the idea that we could have to do something in and around Iran is Well, to say stressful is really an understatement. But you know, it's a huge concern. It doesn't mean that you can stick your head in the ground and ignore it either. Or just because Ahmadinejad was on talking to Brian Williams the other night and says, no, we don't have any nuclear aspirations. Everything's fine, Brian. Nice to see you. Go home.
Yeah, nobody can view the prospect of military action against Iran's nuclear weapons program as anything other than deeply unattractive. The problem is the other option, that is to say Iran with nuclear weapons, is even more unattractive. And I think this goes back to a basic principle that Senator Obama does not understand. In fact, I think he understands the exact opposite. And that principle is American weakness is provocative. American mm-hmm. weakness is provocative. When we look weak, other people say, let's take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And that leads us into greater danger than if we simply led from a position of strength.
Who's more likely to get tested, a President McCain or President Obama in the early days?
No question, Obama. Just as Khrushchev tested Kennedy at the famous summit in Vienna and took him to the cleaners, I think many rogue state dictators around the world would be eager to take up Senator Obama's pledge that he would sit down without preconditions. That they can't wait to have those meetings.
What about China, John Bolton? You look at what's going on, the Olympics coming up here. You have the president going to Beijing. That's controversial in itself because some world leaders are staying home due to the issues. He says he's going to press on human rights and so forth. Is that a good or a bad thing? Does it increase tensions or do nothing?
Well, personally, I would have hoped the president boyhooted the opening ceremony. I think it was a mistake for us to boycott the Moscow Olympics in 1980 entirely. Mm-hmm. But I think boycotting the opening ceremony would send a signal. I think China will be one of the most important issues for whoever the next president is. We don't know what direction China is going to take, whether it will be peaceful evolution or whether it will be growing more aggressive. We need an American president who can deal with the Chinese at an adult level from day one of the next administration, and that's definitely not Senator Obama.
Well, we're going to keep an eye on all these things. We're going to see how things play out. And the big buzz today about China is that they're going to censor the Internet. Well, they've been doing that anyway. But for people to expect something else, I mean, it's amazing when you look at these different countries and see them up close, as you did as UN ambassador. I've had a chance to go around to many of them on my own, and you realize you get two worlds. You have the expanding capitalism, then you still have the bad guys in charge and trying to run things like the old days. And that's where often not only tensions increase, but stupid breaks out from time to time with some of these leaders. So the idea that somehow the world stage is going to be better just because we elect somebody who's going to fix everything, it's just preposterous, and it doesn't bear up in history, does it?
No, and I think it sends a signal to those that want to take advantage of us that once again we have turned inward, that we're focused on our own domestic issues, and we think the rest of the world will get along just fine. And that is, in the last century, inevitably a pattern that comes back to bite us.
John Bolton, Ambassador Bolton, author of Surrender is Not an Option, Defending America at the United Nations, now out in paperback. It's great reading. Get a copy of that. Share it with your friends. Read it in public and irritate people when they see the cover. They'll love that. It's always good to check in with you. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.